mentioned, today is the last part, the final part of this six-part series, and I just want to begin with the Hakaras HaTov, which was actually last week's topic, so certainly appropriate to live up to hopefully what we're teaching, and that is to thank Rabbi Shai Schechter from the Young Israel of Woodmere and anyone else involved on the Young Israel of Woodmere side who provided the technical expertise that have allowed the Shurim to go on. It's been a wonderful program to be participating with 20 other Rabbanim and Mechanchim and well-known teachers from Israel and America. And it's been a privilege, even if it's been virtual, but I've certainly felt the connection with all of you, and I've really enjoyed the interaction and the enthusiastic feedback of this series of Shurim. The series that we've been doing, and really, again, I thank all of you for participating. It's really been meaningful to me, and I hope it's helped you guys as well. The series we've been doing, of course, is the Six Habits of Highly Effective Jewish People. And for our sixth and final shiur today, I thought it made sense to do something on resilience, by which I mean basically how to deal with setbacks and failures in life, which is something which I think is a very, very important midah, which is, in fact, a midah. It's not. There are people who are naturally more resilient than others, just like there are people who are naturally more kind than others. But just like we understand that chesed or charity or compassion or empathy, these are all midos, which are values which we can work on and hopefully improve. So resilience is something that some people have naturally more than others, but it's an absolutely necessary ingredient in any human being's successful navigation of life. For the simple reason, as Koheles tells us in source number one, that at least from a spiritual perspective, Ein tzadik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov velo yechta. There is no such thing as the perfect person. There is no such thing as the person who doesn't fail, who doesn't stumble, who doesn't have setbacks. And therefore, we have to understand that this is a built-in part of life. To live is to fail, and it is that simple. Could be seen as overwhelming, but rather I'd like to see it as just something that is baked in. And the more we understand that it's kind of baked into the creation and human nature, I think, in fact, it gives us a healthier perspective to deal with it. I think sometimes, especially when it comes to more private failures, so we are very reticent to talk about these things in public. And as a result, because so often people hide their failures, especially the more private ones. So what happens is that anyone who is experiencing their own failure in any area of life, especially if it's a more private one, so we live with that failure alone. And by living with that failure alone, we trick ourselves subliminally, I think. I don't think it's so obvious or conscious. But subconsciously, we trick ourselves into thinking that it's just us. We're the ones who fail. We're the ones who can't do it. We're the ones who try and try again and then keep on failing and falling. And in fact, we kind of beat ourselves up way, way more than we deserve because we kind of live in an echo chamber of our own mind. And we're just kind of talking to ourselves to the extent that we think about our failures at all. And because we don't hear about anyone else's failure, I think that we magnify and increase the sense of loneliness that we have when we deal with it. It's a very, very important thing to acknowledge that, as Koheles told us, there is no such person who doesn't sin. And it's not just that there's no such person. There's no great person who hasn't failed in general, and even when it comes to sinning and spiritual failure. This is not my assertion, although I do think it's pretty obvious, but to give it some textual grounding, in source number two, we have a very, very profound and important letter from Rav Huttner, Yitzhak Huttner, the great Rosh Yeshiva from Chaim Berlin, in which he is writing a letter to a student. And like all such letters, we don't have the letter that he received, but we can reconstruct, based on what Rav Huttner wrote to this student, that the student himself must have been explaining and maybe hard on himself for some of his perceived failures. And Rav Huttner writes back to him and says that we in the Torah community in particular, in the Orthodox community in particular, we are prone to over-exaggerating our own failures because we live in a culture which glorifies and almost deifies our gedolim. And says Rav Huttner, no less than, Rav Huttner himself says this is a horrible mistake. He says where it's underlined in the second line, Haroshem shel sichatenu al hagadolim miskabel ki ilu yotzu mitachas yada yotzer bekomasam uvitzivyonam. He says the way we in our Torah community in the yeshiva world, the way we speak about tzaddikim and gedolim, you'd think they popped out of their mother's womb and were perfect just the way it is. Or the way he puts it a little bit more delicately, that they came right out of the hand of the Creator himself. God Almighty created them perfect. He says, as if they're all free from any challenge or any failure. And he gives perhaps the greatest example of the late 19th, early 20th century, the Chafetz Chaim. I grew up in Cincinnati, Ohio. The school was named after the Chafetz Chaim. And I can tell you that I certainly heard what Rav Hotner addresses explicitly, but obviously it wasn't just me growing up in that school. I'm sure countless kids and people have grown up hearing the legend of the Chafetz Chaim about how he never spoke Lashon Hara. I certainly heard this more than once in my youth. Says Rav Hotner in the third line, Mi yodea min kol milchamos ha-mavakim ha-michsholim ha-nifilot ha-nisyonot la-chor shamatzar Chafetz Chaim b'derech ha-machama shelo im yitzro hara. Says Rav Hotner, maybe the Chafetz Chaim was great at not speaking Lashon Hara. Maybe he was fantastic at it. But number one, who knows and whoever speaks about how hard it was for him. All of the wars, the internal struggle that he had to reach that level of pure speech. But it's more than that. As he said it, and we read it together, the beginning of that next line, Michsholim and Nifilot. Right? Those are two ways of saying failure, sin. Yes, yes, you heard it here. Rav Hotner says, of course the Chafetz Chaim spoke Lashon Hara. He wasn't a malach. He was a human being, and human beings aren't perfect. Now, it could be that there was a stage of life where the Chafetz Chaim reached, at some point in his life, he may have reached a stage of purity of speech. But to get there, says Rav Hotner, he struggled and he undoubtedly failed like every one of us. The problem is that we don't speak about it enough. And therefore what happens when we, or our children or our grandchildren, when we struggle and when we fail, we feel like not only are we alone, but obviously we are not destined to do anything great. Because the great people, of course, they don't struggle. They don't fail. So if I fail, if I struggle, it must be that I'm not destined to be great. And says Rav Hotner, this is a terrible societal and educational failure on our part. We need to highlight the full picture. Baruch Hashem, we're blessed with great gedolim. But they got there by struggling, by working through their own challenges and problems, and by, yes, sinning and failing. And when we struggle, instead of just, so to speak, surrendering to failure and surrendering to the Yetzer Hara, that's obviously not the prescription, but when we struggle and we fight against our failures and our weaknesses, says Rav Hotner, it's in that that we are closest and most similar to the greatest of our nation. In addition to Rav Hotner, who speaks very powerfully about failure and who we will return to throughout this year, the other great thinker who also speaks very, very eloquently, insightfully, and powerfully about our topic in resilience is the great Hasidic master of Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin, who died in the year 1900, a great 19th century Hasidic thinker, a radical thinker, an innovative thinker, and one of his greatest contributions is in the area of sin and spiritual resilience. And he makes one final introductory point, which I think is so key, which is that it's not just that everyone sins, even Gedolim, no one's perfect. That's true, but it's more than that, says Rav Tzadok in source number 3. It's that built into the system requires the ability to fail. Failure is a necessary component in the structure of creation and certainly where Hashem created human beings. After all, says Rav Tzadok, the only possibility for success, the only possibility for accomplishment and for true, genuine accomplishment, it only exists as a possibility if there's also a possibility to fail. If there is no possibility to fail, if you could please mute yourself, I'd appreciate that. Thank you. If there is no possibility to fall, then, says Rav Tzadok, there would be no possibility for success. And he points out something so profound. There's a tradition that many thinkers have, which he quotes here in the beginning of source number 3, that human beings are considered what he calls a mahalech. We walk, we move. As opposed to a malach, an angel, is known as an omeid. And he explains that this tradition, exactly along these lines, malachim may be perfect in a sense, but they also can't grow, they can't accomplish. They're omeid, they are who they are, and however Hashem made them, that's how they are. But there's no possibility for improvement, for growth, or for accomplishment. Human beings, on the other hand, we are mahachim, we walk. But says Rav Futner so eloquently, says Rav Tzadok HaKohen, so beautifully and so eloquently, if we couldn't fall, then we couldn't walk either. And he points out, we'll read in a few weeks, at the end of Sefer Dvarim, it says in Parshas Vayelech, Vayelech Moshe. What does that mean, Vayelech Moshe? Moshe went. So later on in the Parsha, it says in Dvarim, Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Bet, Moshe basically announces that his departure from the biblical stage, he's going to die. Says Rav Moshe, two lines from the end of the bottom of source number 3, Moshe says, Lo uchal od latseis lavo. I will no longer be able to go out and to come. It's a very kind of peculiar phrase. Rav Tzadok explains it along these lines. Hainu, the kol shlo yuchal od latseis linpo mimadregaso, adeize lo yuchal lavo od madrega lamala himenu. Lavo, he says, to come is a metaphor of growth, of accomplishment. Latseis, to go out, is a metaphor for falling. Moshe Rabbeinu died at the age of 120, says Rav Tzadok, because he was so perfect that there was no longer any possibility for him to fail. The problem is that once Moshe Rabbeinu reached the level where he couldn't fail, he also couldn't grow either. And then there's no more point in life. Memela, he passes away. So it's actually part of the deal. It's part of the deal. Think about everything that's meaningful to you in life. All of your accomplishments with your own families, in your professional career if you've had them, in your marriages, every accomplishment that you're proud of, it was only possible because it could have gone the other way. You could have failed. It was possible. It was possible. And because it was possible to fail and fall, that's actually what makes your accomplishments and your successes meaningful. Tell me, would any one of us trade those accomplishments for the security of no possibility of failure? I don't think so. What would life be for? What meaning would life have? Says Rav Tzadok, it's only possible to be vayelech if there's also the possibility of falling. We can't go out if we can't come in. It all is a package deal. The only meaning that our successes have is because they weren't necessary and they weren't guaranteed. One final point before we get to the second half of this year, dividing it up into two parts, and that is another beautiful insight of Rav Hutner in source number 5. Rav Hutner in source number 5 makes the following. Actually, you know, I'll tell you two things because they're too beautiful. I can't skip them. I apologize. I just can't skip them. In source number 4, Rav Tzadok HaKohen, again, he says something so powerful, so insightful. He says the first step when we're confronted with failure, with hardship, with falling down, and we all are, every one of us. The first thing, says Rav Tzadok, is, Ein li Yehudi lihityeish mishum davar. You can't give up. You simply cannot give up. Now, the truth is, this is a universal idea. I think one of my favorite quotes from Winston Churchill, if I can paraphrase from memory, but I think it more or less goes like this, said Churchill, the essence of success is going from failure to failure without a loss of enthusiasm. That's success. Everyone's life is filled with failures. And Churchill, one of the greatest, most accomplished men of the 20th century, had enormous numbers of failures. The ability to not give up, to go from failure to failure without a loss of enthusiasm, that's Rav Tzadok says, Ein l'hityaesh mishum davar. And then he says something that is so profound and so uniquely focused on the Jewish people. He says the entire origin story, right? Every nation, every culture has an origin story. We do also. That's the beginning of Sefer Bereishis. The entire origin story of the Jewish people is predicated from the very first chapter on things happening against all odds and not giving up. After all, Avraham and Sarah, wonderful, they're great. But Judaism dies with them if they don't have a child, if they don't have anyone to continue, if they never have Yitzchak. And as we all know, not only was Avram a very old man, Sarah was very, very old, way past the time, even in biblical days, in which she should have been able to be fertile and have children. They had given up, completely given up. And of course, then the angels come, tell her she's going to have a baby. She laughs because she can't believe it. And then, of course, the last laugh is on everybody because she conceives and has Yitzchak, and Judaism lives to the next generation. Says, okay, that this is, we all know, that's Chumash Rashi. But says Rav Tzadok at the end of source number 4, 1 second, I don't understand. Why did Hashem have to do that? Couldn't have Hashem authored the origin story of the Jewish people without that? Couldn't Yitzchak have been born when Sarah was a little younger? Why did it have to be that the very first transmission of the Jewish people to the next generation happens against all odds after everyone, including Sarah and Avram, had given up on having children? Says Rav Tzadok, it had to be, the end of source number 4, Me'es Hashem ha'isazos, binyan ha'uma dafka achar ha'yeyosh kamor. What a profound, shocking insight by Rav Tzadok. It had to be this way. The Jewish people from the very outset was built after years, after people gave up. Shalohemin shim adam, no one, even Sarah, had given up hope of having a child. Kizeh kala adam ha-yisraeli, because that's what it means to be a Jew, to never give up. La'amin she'en l'hisyayish klal, no matter how bad it is. The li'olam Hashem yizbarach yachal azor, ha'yipalem Hashem yizbarach. Is there anything Hashem? So it doesn't matter. And in the opening part of that source, which we didn't read inside, he says whether it's in spiritual or material areas, physical or spiritual, never ever give up, because Hashem can always help us. And in fact, from the origins of our history, the dawn of the Jewish people was always built on going against the odds. Furthermore, again, with this we'll end the first part of the shiur, Rav Hutner says one other point, which is very beautiful and very insightful. He says there's a halacha when it comes to Beis Din, the Jewish courts. A Jewish court, a Beis Din, is not allowed to issue a ruling at night. It's pasul ladun. Jewish courts do not work at night. Right? They can't issue a judgment at night. Says Rav Hutner on source number 5 in another letter, there's a profound metaphor and a profound lesson here. That a human being can't judge him or herself, we shouldn't judge ourselves, also at night, as it were. What does that mean? That at night, in the darkness of our lives, in those dark moments when we failed, when we've fallen, when we've tripped up, it's human nature, dafka then, in our most difficult, darkest moments, that's when we judge ourselves. That's when we pronounce ourselves judge and jury. You see, I am a nobody. I am worthless. I can't accomplish it. Look, you see, I failed. We judge ourselves dafka in the darkness, dafka at night. Says Rav Hutner, it's a mistake. We cannot judge ourselves at night. Hashofet hadan bizman hapsul, i'efshir lo shlo yotze mishpat m'ukal. If you judge yourself at night, you're going to have a twisted, inaccurate judgment. Maybe it's fair not to judge ourselves at the highest of the highs, but it is certainly fair we shouldn't be judging ourselves at the lowest of the lows either. That would just as easily and just as much distort the judgment and our self-perception. But it's so common. It is so common that the reason that so many of us have struggles with resilience and that we're prone to give up is because we judge ourselves dafka in the darkest hour, in the night of our lives. And that is a mistake. So to switch over now to the last part of the shiur, I want to point out that it's not just enough to overcome, to remind ourselves it's human nature, that everybody does it, and that we can't give up, especially because we're Jews and the Jews don't give up. It's all good. I believe every word I said. But it's not enough. It's not enough. Because as the pasuk in Micha in source number 6 tells us, Ki nafalti kamti, I fell and I got up, Ki eshev b'choshech, I sat in darkness, Hashem orli, Hashem is my God. And what does that mean? I sat in darkness, I got up, I fell down. So the Medrash says in source number 7 very famously, don't think it means that I fell and I got up, or I sat in darkness and I sat in light. Rather, says the Medrash in source number 7, where it's underlined, Ilulei shenafalti lo kamti, ilulei sheyashavti b'choshech lo haya orli. In other words, if I hadn't sat in darkness, I couldn't have gotten up. If I hadn't fallen, I couldn't get up. If I hadn't sat in darkness, I wouldn't have light. In other words, what the Medrash is telling us based on this pasuk is not just that failure can be overcome, not just that we can get up even though we fell. It's more than that. It's that our failures and our falling can themselves be the catalyst and the source of growth. And in fact, without falling and without any failure, we wouldn't be and we won't be as successful as we could be. And I'd like to very briefly highlight three or four different ways where that's in fact the case, where our failures and our falling can be the birth mother of our greatest success. So number one is an insight of Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, the great Mir Rosh Hashiva, source number 9 from the Sichos Moser. And he points out, again, based on the same Medrash, especially if you talk about a dramatic fall. I mean, there are all sorts of small little falls that we have. Again, I'm not minimizing any sin, but he's not talking about in source number 9 if a person realizes a half an hour after dinner that they forgot to make an alamichya. He's not talking about those kind of falls, right? We should try not to do that either. But he's talking about something more dramatic. And people have all sorts of dramatic falls in life in all sorts of areas. So says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, one area one way in which the falling actually helps us is because, he says, one of the greatest impediments to religious growth is habit. We just take everything for granted and we get used to things. This is just who I am, and we go through life unthinking just because that's how I've done it, that's how I'll always do it, this is who I am. Unfortunately, sometimes we get shaken out of that and we have a dramatic fall. It's not just the usual thing, but a real dramatic failure, a real falling. We hit the ground, we hit it with a thud. And that's very tragic and very scary. It can be very, very disorienting. However, says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, it can also have a silver lining. Za'azua shel hanefila kashechas v'shalom. Yes, it's true. If you hit that ground with a big thud, a hard fall, a big failure in life, a big swing and miss, you can get shaken up a little bit, disoriented. But that disorientation, that shaken up, can be motzias ha'adam mishal v'sa v'hergalav. That shakes you out of your, you know, just go easy going. You were just going through without thinking. Oreres etzlo hisrag shusalev. It arouses a certain thing. Wow. Oh my gosh. Look who I've become. Look how, you know, I'll tell you, sometimes it happens, again, this could happen in a million ways, but sometimes it happens with children, right? We're doing a certain thing, it's just become a certain thing that we do, and then all of a sudden a child or a grandchild makes a comment, and all of a sudden, whoa, when someone else calls you on it, especially someone who looks up to you, that's an area where sometimes it could just shock us, like, whoa, on the one hand, you can feel terrible about that. I haven't been a good role model. On the other hand, there's a silver lining, because that shakes us out of our complacency and kind of gets us out of the habit, and hopefully can get us turning in the right direction. So that's one area, one way in which a failure, again, especially a big failure, can shake us up, and even a little bit of light lights up a dark room. And sometimes if we didn't have any light, we wouldn't even realize we were in the darkness. So a little bit shakes us up. A second area, which I don't have on the sheet, but it's a very beautiful metaphor of the Baal Shem Tov, the famous Baal Shem Tov, the founder of Hasidus. He points out, again, one of the great experiences that we've all had in life, a little baby, you're teaching him or her how to walk. So what happens when the baby can take their first steps? We put our hands out and they take one step. Yay! Very exciting, right? Then you do it again. And then the baby takes one step. And what do we do right then? You pull your hand away. And then the baby maybe falls. And then eventually the baby can take two steps. And what happens after the baby takes two steps? Then you pull your hand away. Now, of course, from the baby's perspective, it feels like a failure, and they want to know how come Bubby or Zadie or Mommy or Daddy or Abba or Ima are being so cruel to them. But of course, we know that each time we pull our hand away, we're forcing them to have greater effort, and by pushing, we're actually helping them reach their goal. Says the Baal Shem Tov, it's the same thing in life. Once we've been successful, once we reach a certain level, Hashem pulls his hand away, so to speak, so that the baby can fall, to help us push. In other words, each failure is an opportunity. It pushes us to work that much harder. It pushes us to work so that we can develop our strength. If we had reached a point where we were just successful and then we were coasting, we'd be like that baby who takes two or three steps, the mommy hugs them, yay! And his whole life, all he can do is take three steps. So Hashem sometimes builds it in so that when we fail, instead of being down on ourselves, we have to realize this is an opportunity to work that much harder to succeed. Source number 10 is an incredible, maybe the most famous letter of all of Rav Hutner. Rav Hutner has this very big volume of letters, Pachad Yitzchak Igros Uksavim, and one of, if not the most famous letter, is the one I have in source number 10. And again, it's the same letter to a student who obviously was struggling with something in particular, and Rav Hutner writes to him and he says, you should know that the shorash of your neshama, the source of your soul, is not the shalva. It's not when everything is calm, it's like a nice, you know, little a stream going, you know, without any wind, without any waves, just nice, calm. No, he says, Dafka milchamto shalyetotov. When we're fighting, when there are waves crashing against the rocks, when it's stirring and it's action, that's actually when the neshama is alive. And he says we have to have a perspective. We can't be so myopic and just look at what happened right in front of us. In English, we say Banglit omrim, lose the battle but win the war. And it's the same thing in life, he says. You can't look at every little battle as the war itself. Sometimes we lose the individual battles, but we have to have a long-term perspective. And if each time we lose a battle, we say, you know what, I'm going to learn from my mistake, then eventually in the big war, we will learn. And in fact, he quotes the same, another pasuk similar to the one we saw, this one from Mishlei in the middle, Sheva Yipol Tzadik Vakam. A tzaddik falls seven times. And says Rav Hutner, similar to what we saw from the Medrash above, he says, foolish people think that he's a tzaddik because even though he fell seven times, he got up. He says, no, that's a mistake. The Chachamim understand, the wise people understand, that Mahut HaKimah Shel HaTzaddik is the Derech Sheva Nefilos. The reason that he or she became the tzaddik isn't despite, but because of the falling. Because each time you fall, if you learn from the mistake, if you reinvest in yourself, you think about it, you examine your life, why did I fail? What was the trigger? How could I have done better? How did I put myself in a bad situation? Etc., etc. Then, in fact, I'll be better than I ever would have been had I not had the failings, because I learn about myself and my own ability to grow from those very failings. And then he ends off this letter so beautifully. Ashrei, the Talmud who has a Rebbe, you could write him like this. He says, I want you to know, had you written me a letter and told me all about how great you were doing, I would have said, I got a michtav tov. I would have got a good letter from you. Aval achshav, he says, now that your letter is telling me about all your challenges and your falling, hinani omer shekibalti mimcha michtav tov, ma'od. Now I say, I just get a good letter from you. I got a great letter from you. Because it's davka ba'osam hamakomos. It's in those areas of life where you find yourself falling and failing the most often. Davka ba'osam hamakomos omed hincha lios kli hitztainut shel kvod shamayim. Says Rav Hutner, and this is something that Rav Tzadok also says, a fourth point, and that is that another way that failing is good is because failing is like a radar. It hones in on where we have the most potential. It's davka where we fail, which if we could overcome that, we actually have the most potential. So we've seen four different ways in which it's not just that everybody fails, everyone falls, don't give up, rah, rah. I don't say that sarcastically, I mean that sincerely, but it's more than that. In the second part of the shir, what we've seen is that there's at least four different ways that the failures themselves can be the catalyst for growth, can be the springboard for growth. Number one, we saw from Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, it's a shock to the system. It can kind of wake us up to where we are. We shouldn't just be coasting. Number two, we saw from the Baal Shem Tov, like the baby with his mother when he's trying to learn how to walk. Each failure will force us to work harder, and that's extra effort, which will eventually pay off in the long run. And then we saw two other ideas from Rav Hutner. Number one, we said, you have to look at the long term. Don't get caught up on the small things. We have a long-term view. We can learn from our mistakes. We don't get down on them because we see they're going to help us in the long term. And number four, it's dafka, the areas where we fail the most. We should realize that's where we have the most potential to accomplish great things. It's not easy. And this is one of those shiurim where I'm speaking to myself at least as much, if not more, than everybody else. It's something that I struggle with myself, frankly, because I fail so much. But hopefully, something that has been, some of these ideas which can be helpful, have been helpful and can hopefully still be helpful to me, I hope will be helpful to you as well. Because as we said, there's no man or woman who doesn't fail. And therefore, if we don't learn how to deal with failure, it can be something that really overcomes us. But it's not enough that just, it's not just, failure is not just something that can be survived. failure is something that can actually be the greatest instructor and help us grow. And I conclude with the departing words of Rav Tzadok in source number 11. So powerful and so beautiful. Blow this up. Hang it on your fridge. Never forget it. Kishem shetzarech adam lahamin b'Hashem yizbarach. Kach tzarech achar kach lahamin b'atzmo. Just like we believe in Hashem, we have to believe that Hashem, and therefore we ourselves, must believe in us. If we're here, we have a mission, and it's because Hashem believes we can do it, even with all of our failures. Trust me, God knows how human we are. And if He believes in us, we have to believe in ourselves. If we believe in ourselves, we can navigate the failures, we can overcome the failures, and hopefully we can grow and do incredible, incredible things. Again, I thank everyone for joining on this whole series, whether you've been at one or all of the shurim. It's been a pleasure to have you. I've learned a lot with you. Thank you so much. And